It is time for the big interview on today's edition of Money Life. I am very happy when I get a chance to chat with Mary Ellen Stanek. She is the co-chief investment officer at Baird Advisors, president of the Baird Funds. It's bairdfunds.com or rwbaird.com if you are looking for more information. And of course, Baird, well, they do everything, but specialize in the fixed income side of the world. So we're going to spend a lot of time there with Mary Ellen. Mary Ellen Stanek, welcome back to Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck. Always great to be with you.
Mary Ellen is here on the Gainbridge Hotline. Gainbridge believes that deferred fixed annuities are a steady, guaranteed way to grow savings. Its innovative self-managed digital platform provides direct access to trusted annuity products without complexity or hidden fees. Learn more at gainbridge.life. Mary Ellen, the bond fund side of things and the bond world, well, certainly as we enter 2022, with rising interest rates and much higher inflation that is no longer being described as transitory, but that we do expect to come back to earth at some point, makes for particularly interesting times in the bond fund and the fixed income world. We know that may you live in interesting times is a curse. Are we cursed right now, or are we actually excited for what's ahead?
Actually, for investors, longer term, it's this adjustment up, if you will, in terms of interest rates, you know, means for investors, for bond investors, you're going to collect higher income and higher yields. And so actually, it's a good thing. The near-term volatility and uncertainty always presents challenges for investors. So we'll try to unpack that and particularly look forward to what we think is ahead in 2022 and beyond.
Okay. So functionally, it sets up well, but we have to go through the transition. So where are we in this transition, or how much can we transition until we get a little more clarity on rates and inflation?
So, Chuck, you know, when investors think you want to wait for the clarity, you know, it never feels like enough in the moment. So just to set it up, you know, some of the key building blocks. Certainly there has been a surprise surge in inflation. Now, you might say, or your listeners might say, oh, come on, Mary Ellen, you know, everybody's been concerned with all the liquidity in the system that we would see inflation. And certainly there has been an expected amount, but some of the unexpected, you know, these supply chain disruptions, largely because of COVID and then the restart. And then you take the labor market, and labor is also a supply chain of sorts. And you've got some unusual trends going on in the labor markets right now, including this great resignation. So it's causing some temporary push in terms of constrained supply. And of course, the price goes up, you know, to allocate that constrained supply, if you will. We think as you will continue to move through 2022, there will be some normalization and some settling back down. But there are some things that were certainly tough to predict, uncertain, and that's what the market is grappling with right now and causing headline inflation in particular to look higher than it has in literally decades.
Well, that change, of course, has investors looking at the fixed income market in ways that they haven't for a long time, because quite honestly, any sort of inflation protected bonds for years were unattractive or ignored by a lot of people because inflation just wasn't a factor. Now, of course, it's a huge factor, but does that mean that that's where people want to be rushing in? I mean, how much does the tilt in an overall bond portfolio for an individual or for you running a general purpose bond fund turn to inflation protection when that wasn't necessarily the big factor in the past?
Well, so, you know, for investors, and each of us has different investment objectives, so I think every investor has to step back and, you know, go through their checklist in terms of what their objectives are and what their time horizon is and how they're organizing their assets across taxable and tax-deferred or tax-exempt types of accounts, and, you know, and then determine what kind of fixed income assets do I want to hold and what purpose are they there to serve? And so the reality is, as yields have gone, as inflation, excuse me, has gone up, we're seeing negative real yields and real income for people. And so people are going back and saying, well, what purpose is my bond fund there to do, or my bond, my individual bonds? And in a lot of ways, over the last several years with very low interest rates, the bonds in someone's asset allocation were there to provide liquidity, to lower overall volatility, to really be that anchor, if you will, in terms of the overall asset allocation. The other asset classes were trying to drive capital appreciation and actually did a pretty good job of it. So one of the things that people need to remember about any kind of inflation protected kind of security is it doesn't necessarily shield you from a rise in interest rates and the math of that and the decline in principal value. So what do investors do? And I think that's, you know, your core question. What do investors do? I think with aging populations that we see not just in the U.S., but throughout most of the world, you continue to see investors, as they age, looking for more income-oriented investments. And so we saw, and that was one of the big surprises in 2021, when we look in the rearview mirror, everybody felt that, boy, people, you see a rise in rates. And in the first quarter of 2021, we saw that. And people expected you would see this massive move out of bonds. It was a record year of inflows when you look at funds and ETFs, on top of two prior years that in 2019 and 2020, you had 2021 in, you had three extraordinarily very strong years of inflow, net inflows into bond investments. And, you know, we think what's really at the core of all that is the whole demographic profile. So I think for investors, you step back and you go, all right, what is my allocation? What is it there to do? And what properties am I looking for? And then you look at, you know, what kind of risk tolerance am I willing to take? And there is this, as you put it before, period of adjustment. It can be uncertain. In fact, it is very uncertain and uncomfortable, and volatility remains higher. But at the end of this adjustment, we believe investors will find themselves with higher yields, slightly higher yields, and that we will see many of these temporary forces settle back down into a more comfortable range. So keep the seatbelts on in terms of, as a bond investor, you ask what we're doing. We are, as spreads are reasonably tight right now, and as the Fed has been in very active in certain sectors of the bond market, we have increased the quality in our portfolios, dialed down the risk a bit, and want to keep quality and liquidity high because we believe there will be better opportunities ahead, and we want to be able to participate in those opportunities. Sometimes it's through overweights, whether it be sectors or names. Sometimes it's points on the yield curve. Sometimes the most significant additional value we drive in the portfolios will come from our underweights or things that we decide to not own because we think they're on a relative value vantage point, relatively rich for the level of risk we take. So all of that goes into how we manage the day-to-day in the bond portfolios across the duration spectrum, both taxable. There are 10 Baird bond funds, 5 on the taxable side across the duration lineup, and 5 on the municipal side as well.
In terms of setting expectations, what you've just told me is I should expect that my bond funds may be capable of doing more than intuitively I would think. So you run bond funds. You just did annual get-togethers with your clients and what have you. How positive actually are you? I mean, obviously, I don't think you or anyone who is in your job enters the new year going, man, things are going to stink this year. But are you excited for this year or are you nervous about this year? Which is the side? Do you err more on the side of optimism or pessimism right now?
Well, we're certainly at the point in time where we're not pounding the table in terms of really compelling value. We aren't sitting like we were in, you know, in the second quarter of the first half of 2020, really throughout 2020, into all that uncertainty and all of the, you know, the negative backdrop. It was actually a very good time to be investing in bonds. Spreads widened out dramatically, and there was a plentiful of opportunity. Today, the relative valuations on the individual sectors, there are points in the yield curve that are more attractive than others, but there's selective opportunity. It is not as broad-based. So I would say we are cautiously optimistic. You know, this is the benefit of having done this for as long as we have done this. We've managed these portfolios for over, in the Baird Fund's case, now we're in our 22nd year, but our careers span 4+ decades. We have managed through lots of different market environments, economic environments. We certainly have not lived through a pandemic, a forced economic shutdown, and a restart, but we have seen many unusual circumstances in the past and been able to navigate through where we track our each of the portfolio's benchmarks with a high degree of consistency, and then spend our time and attention on trying to offset and beat that benchmark, offset the fund's cost to invest or fees, and deliver something net of that expense ratio positive for our investors, and then compound that consistency, because we think those are the properties that people want in the long run from their bond investment. They want consistency, they want predictability, that liquidity aspect, you know, the cash flow aspect that they're looking for. And that's so the strategies we employ try to deliver that. So when you put it in the context of the current market environment, we are cautiously optimistic that we will continue to be able to track and beat the portfolio's benchmark, but we will do it by it's in the dead of winter right now, so it's not yet spring training. Hopefully, we will play baseball on a timely basis this year. But the baseball analogies work really well to describe what we do and how we do it. Try to hit a lot of singles, try to do a lot of little things in the portfolio. And when you do that, particularly in this kind of valuation environment, it adds up to a decent, solid value relative to the capital market that the portfolio is trying to track and beat.
I'm not in the marketing business, Mary Ellen, but I'm just going to point out that the fact that I have yet to find a financial firm that makes compound the consistency its slogan means that nobody in marketing has been paying attention. That would work for me. You know, I'm just saying, Baird Advisors compound the consistency could be your next ad campaign, and you didn't even have to pay me for that advice.
Yeah, no, that's really key. You know, one of my colleagues always says people aren't hiring us and using our bond funds for excitement, because you don't invest in the fixed income side typically for a lot of drama and excitement. You really own fixed income for these other properties. So what we want to do is to deliver on what people expect and hopefully a little bit more.
So let's try to finish with some of the excitement. We're a little bit tight on time here, and we've talked about the bond side, but you are the president of the Baird Funds, and the Baird Funds are not just the 10 bond funds. You've got some equity funds out there. So your outlook for the stock market broadly, we have seen so much in terms of positive over the last couple of years, despite the pandemic and everything else. I don't know if it's a return to normal, but whether it's return to normal or it's just what lies ahead, what is the expectation for what this year is going to look like?
Well, I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb. Well, you're right. I'm not an equity investor. We do invest personally in equities, obviously, but I own all of the Baird funds, including the equity funds, and there's some wonderful products there. This is going to be a tougher environment. The last several years have been extraordinary returns on the equity side in particular, and I don't think I'm going way out on a limb to say, you know, it's going to be choppier, it's going to be more difficult, and I think active management is going to matter. So we have disciplined growth funds that are certainly very disciplined about the valuation at which they are buying great growth companies, and some terrific international and global fund opportunities. And then we do have a new sub-advisor in on our value products. So I think it's going to be a period over the next year plus where active management, and particularly skilled active managers who can carefully manage risk for opportunity, will be able to demonstrate their strength.
Mary Ellen, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for taking the time out. Have a great 2022. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Thank you so much, Chuck. Happy New Year to you.
That's Mary Ellen Stanek. She is the co-chief investment officer at Baird Advisors. She is the president of the Baird Funds. It is bairdfunds.com, rwbaird.com, and on Twitter at rwbaird. And we will be back in just a moment to wrap up today's show, tell you a few things you might want to take away from this one, and we'll cross the finish line together next.